Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcoming to The Early Line. Live right here on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, lot to get to. How are you, my man?
No, doing very good here. It is a Monday. I love to play armchair quarterback, particularly in the NFL. But we had some wild things go down in college football on Saturday. Sometimes, Kevin, on a Monday morning, 2 hours just isn't enough, but we're ready for it.
There is a lot to get to here. Not to look ahead, but one of these headlines is really not one that I ever thought would find its way in here, considering it's the NBA and the nature of it all. But we'll get there in time. Let's start, though, with Donnie, the 7-7 top headlines, the game of the week, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, one of the lowest scoring games of the week. It just had to go this way. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Dallas Cowboys 19-9. Oh, my goodness. They are, though, in first place in the AFC West. What a game this turned out to be.
Yeah, I guess you could see the writing on the wall, Kevin, if you will, earlier in the week when Amari Cooper was knocked out of the game due to COVID contacts. So, okay, well, they still got plenty of wide receivers. By the end of the first half, you also lost CeeDee Lamb. And keep in mind, Dak Prescott, a lot of weapons down, but also Zeke Elliott banged up a little bit in the first half. The Chiefs' defense is going to be the headline in this game, Kevin, of a 19-9 final score. My goodness, I never saw that coming. Also, really quickly, on the FanDuel Sportsbook last night, top team to score last week, the Chiefs at an 8-1 price. Second place, I believe it was the Dallas Cowboys at a 9-1 price. Mm-hmm. And the highest scoring game of the week overall at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a plus 350 on the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Whoa, 19-9. Come on.
I mean, Dallas, your lowest scoring team nearly? They actually were. Like the Lions, Tim Boyle. We'll slander Dak Prescott in a little bit, but there's still plenty to get to. How about a Sunday night shootout picking up the slack, the Chargers, and the Steelers? 41-37, the final score. Pittsburgh continues to cover as a dog, but the Chargers avoid another loss here, moving to 6-4 and staying close with the Chiefs for the top of the AFC West.
Yeah, it's the Justin Herbert that we expected there, Kevin, right? Take a look at that, 382 through the air, 90 on the ground. What a thrilling game out in Los Angeles last night. A close score here with the Chargers. And I'm going to talk a little bit later, Kevin, in a segment called Listen Up about parity in the NFL. And this shows it right here. What a fun game that was. And two teams looking to try to make the playoffs here.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, Donnie, an MVP-esque performance. It's a shame, though, that one Buffalo quarterback, well, he didn't deliver the same. The Buffalo Bills get routed in Buffalo by the Indianapolis Colts 41-15. The Bills no longer lead in the AFC East, and Jonathan Taylor has 5 total touchdowns in the football game.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor was amazing. But I got to tell you, Kevin, like you're missing all the points here. The MVP of the league, Josh Allen, you know what he does? I've been riding the coattails here with Buffalo. And he says, you know what, Donnie? I know you got that ticket in your back pocket for the Indianapolis Colts. Don't worry about this game today. I got this AFT. Let's pick this W up for Indianapolis, and we will cruise the rest of the way. But I got to tell you, that was an alarming performance by the Buffalo Bills. But more so, how about those Colts out here finally getting healthy, and they look good.
The Colts quite actually have an argument for the best team in this conference. We'll talk about the state of the AFC. And one other team that is a part of that conversation is the Baltimore Ravens, but in a bizarre of a way, as you could imagine, as the radio audience enters the fold, and we appreciate all those listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Monday morning. Donnie, the Baltimore Ravens move to 7-3. Tyler Huntley, the winning quarterback, 16-13. They win in Chicago.
Yeah, knocking out Justin Fields in this game. But I got to tell you, if you look up the dictionary, Kevin, you just needed a picture of, just say, hey, what is a model organization? It is the Baltimore Ravens as they improved to 7-3 in an ugly football game without their MVP, a quarterback. A comeback performance on the road against the Bears. That was sensational. But that's what John Harbaugh and that team does week after week after week, Kevin. Next man up.
Backup quarterbacks continue to rule this sport. Colt McCoy outduels Russell Wilson in Seattle. I'll say that again. Colt McCoy outduels Russell Wilson in Seattle. Cardinals win this game 23-13, Donnie.
Yeah, there are big fractures in the foundation out there in Seattle. It'll be fun to talk about this game in depth a little bit later here because nothing is looking good for Seattle. 3-7 now, but also give credit to the Arizona Cardinals. Backup quarterback no DeAndre Hopkins pull out a victory with the 12s up there in Seattle. It's a good win.
2-1 without Kyler Murray. We'll talk about the top of the NFC. How about college football, Donnie? A ton of big results, but I don't think there were any bigger than Ohio State routing Michigan State. The game was over in the first quarter, and C.J. Stroud is now a considerable favorite for the Heisman Award.
And rightfully he should be. Also, I was watching the Wake Forest game versus Clemson, hoping for an over, which got there, and I kept seeing the score at the bottom of the screen. That's got to be a misprint here. There is no way they're about to hang 50 on Michigan State in the first half, and my goodness, that is a huge one. We talked about, you know, on the show, hey, they don't need to run the score up, Kevin. Well, maybe they do, just to have fun.
Ohio State is likely going to move inside the top two in the new college football playoff rankings. And lastly, in the NBA, the Lakers beat the Pistons. This should not be headline news, but it comes in a game where LeBron James was ejected. A thrown elbow bloodies Isaiah Stewart. He goes full AEW wrestling, trying to run all over the map and charge LeBron. A wild scene, Donnie.
Yeah, wild scene, and let's go NBA. Be tough on this. Minimum 25 games here for LeBron. It's only fair. It's only fair.
Oh, wait a minute. All right, cut that, guys, Mike. We'll take a break. None of that. Unacceptable. Very unacceptable. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on Sports Grid, and the Kansas City Chiefs in the game of the week beat the Dallas Cowboys. But if I would have told you that the Kansas City Chiefs put up 19 points and Patrick Mahomes finished the game with zero touchdowns, you would have thought that today's show would have been finally the sky is falling Chiefs moment that I needed to have, because I, while I think a lot of others had those moments, I couldn't get there. It's still the Chiefs. I couldn't get there. But instead, we're not talking about a disaster day for Kansas City. No, we're talking, Donnie, about the new favorites to win the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep, here they come, and not on offense, Kevin, as they win. Now, we're oddsmen right here. We like to sit back and say, you know, what do we like in this game? What do we think is going to take place? As we said during the opening, 7-7, 8-1 and 9-1, respectively. The two top teams in the NFL to score in Week 11 were the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys, plus 350 for the highest-scoring game, Kevin. I said, oh, man, it's going to be a lot of points in this one. What would have been the odds if I would have told you on Friday, hey, Kevin, I got a great bet for you here. We're going to go no touchdown passes in Kansas City and Dallas. I don't even know what the price would have been, because it would have been so astronomical, because it made no sense. And here we sit on a Monday at a 19-9. And the reason why I'm not getting into the statistics all that much yet here, Kevin, and I'm talking about it, is because, man, I love the play. I love the play in this game, and it was plus 280 coming in. Each quarterback to throw a touchdown in the first half and the second half, which was Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes. Then the FanDuel Sportsbook opens up, and it was like the opening of The Simpsons, where the clouds part, the sun comes out, and they said, Noah, Donnie, plus 380, have at it. I said, sign me up. Step up to the cage and lay it down. I was walking my dog 5 minutes into the first quarter because I knew what was about to take place. My favorite wager of the week was already tilting after just a few minutes. And a 19-9 final, This is what we've been waiting on for the Chiefs. Not the offense, which got back on track the week before, with the Raiders game. It's the defense that has now shown they can step up against a legitimate offense and make plays here. And also, Kevin, keep in mind, still how hard it is, number one, to win on the road in the NFL, but number two at Arrowhead. They're 7-4 now. It's like everybody forgot about the past month here. Everybody along the Chiefs bandwagon, and rightfully so. They played a good football game, and they did what they needed to win to win. And also over a good Dallas Cowboys team. 19-9, never saw coming, but here it is, double-digit win by the Kansas City Chiefs.
All in all, when we look at this Chiefs team, Donnie, now over a three-year window, right? The two Super Bowls are now this season. The Kansas City Chiefs have won three games this year where Patrick Mahomes was actively bad. This game here against the Packers and against the Giants. Donnie, go back to the two prior years where this team went to the Super Bowl. How many times was that true, if ever, was that the case there? Now, in part because so rarely did you see bad Patrick Mahomes performances. And while that has to be a little bit concerning because the Chiefs need Mahomes to be the best quarterback in the NFL if they're going to win a Super Bowl. In the same way, when you talk about the Lakers, people say they need LeBron James to be a top five player in the league for them to win an NBA championship. That is all true, but Mahomes, like LeBron, you give the benefit of the doubt to turn it around. But what seemed like it would be the Chiefs' biggest downfall was going to be the defense. And well, Donnie, the defense now is average. Is it above average? I mean, the group is performing, point blank, period. That's the reality of the situation here, holding this Dallas Cowboys team to 9. But even going further than that, Vegas holding that group to 14. And listen, I know it was Jordan Love, but that team looked like they were going to be shut out in the Green Bay Packers until a late-minute touchdown ultimately and got them a cover as well. The Chiefs have moved to favorites in the AFC, Donnie, and they absolutely should be. We'll talk about the Buffalo performance. We'll talk about the Tennessee nightmarish upset at the hands of the Houston Texans. But, Donnie, I see no reason that the Kansas City Chiefs shouldn't be favorites to win the AFC, and that's exactly where they are.
Yeah, topsy-turvy in the NFL. I mean, this is a week-to-week league. What you think is, oh, my goodness, take a look at this, Kevin. We even talk about, and we're going to get to the Tennessee Titans game in a little bit, was, hey, man, Coach of the Year is very Vrabel. They got Houston coming to town. All they did was win big game after big game after big game. They should win this, and they lost that game. So when you take a look at the conference-winning odds here of the AFC on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kansas City popping in at a plus 330, the Buffalo Bills 4-1, Ravens 5-1, Tennessee Titans 7-1. So you look at the Baltimore Ravens yesterday without Lamar Jackson, very pedestrian. They should have lost that game to Andy Dalton and the Bears, but good organizations win when you don't have your A game. And that's Kansas City. Didn't have their A game on offense, Kevin. Were able to get enough stops to win that one. But I think more of the interesting part about this is the Dallas Cowboys only 9 points. Nobody could stop the Cowboys. I guess the only thing that can stop them is COVID absences and injuries to one of the best young wide receivers in football in CeeDee Lamb and bang up the ankle of Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe if you can get that each game, you could slow down the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys probably still going to win the NFC East here, but that's a shocking loss here where they just didn't perform at all up against Kansas City.
But let's not skate past that, Donnie. And I'm going to reopen some old conversations that I know I had to get into through many of the years while Wentz was in Philadelphia, and I'm sure you did as well. Because Carson Wentz would go out there and have parking attendants filling out the receiver room and fans filling out the offensive line. And all Dallas Cowboys fans would do is parade around about how much better Dak Prescott was than Carson Wentz. Time in, time in, time in. And I looked right now at Dak Prescott here over the last 3 weeks. And Dak Prescott has been quite questionable here, Donnie. 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. His yards per pass, 6.5. The prior 7 games that he played, or 6 games that he played, it was an 8.4. His completion percentage, Donnie, was 73%, which would be good enough for an NFL record. Over the last 3 weeks, it is under 63%. Yards per game. Over the first 6 weeks, over 300 yards. He is under 250 over the last 3 weeks. And well, what is the big change for Dak Prescott? Tyron Smith isn't out there. Tyron Smith, when he is not out there, the Dallas Cowboys don't look the same. This has been true for Dak's entire career. I don't know how Jerry Jones will find a way, but he has enough money to perhaps recreate Tyron Smith, and he better get on it. Because Dak Prescott isn't the same quarterback without Tyron Smith. I am not going to listen to the same you know, things that were labeled excuses and invalid when it came to Carson Wentz. Oh, what did you want him to do without Amari Cooper? Well, what would you want him to do? CeeDee Lamb missed the second half. He was there for the first half. How'd that look? Well, what'd you want him to do without Tyrone Smith, one of the best left tackles in the game? Well, that doesn't seem to apply to every other quarterback in the sport, Donnie. Dak walked into one of the best situations in the NFL when he came out of his career, and Dak consistently, when he is good, and he has had plenty of moments where he has been spectacular, is labeled one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Nobody's playing the position higher. MVP, all that in the third. And when things go wrong for Dak, it's, well, what'd you want him to do? What'd you want him to do? I want him to be better. 9 points against this Chiefs defense is pathetic.
You're right. That's a great rant that you went on, because sometimes we don't see the, you know, forest through the trees, so to speak, because you're trying to take a look at what Dak has done well. Well, and he's played really well. Usually the Dallas Cowboys have a terrible defense and he gets extra opportunities and you can fire touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But also keep in mind, Jerry Jones and that organization has drafted a ton of talent around him on offense so he can succeed, which is what you're supposed to do in the NFL. Now, moving forward here, Kevin, right? We say the excuses and the Dallas Cowboys only scored 9 points. It'll get better next. They play on Thanksgiving. You know who's already out for this game? Amari Cooper. You know who's probably not going to play in this game due to concussion protocols? CeeDee Lamb as well. So we're going to see it on national TV. And I think there's two guys that are going to be doing some stuff here on the Sports Grid Network during that game to keep you up to date. But having said that, it doesn't get any easier. And you took a 7-3 team as the Cowboys now. They're going to win the NFC. If they're NFC East. If they're going to come in the Thursday, even more banged up, Kevin, that quickly turns to 7-4. And here we go.
And let's add this one last point about this team. Donnie, not just the equity to win an NFC East, but an NFC overall. How did the first half end for this team? Going in, points, momentum. Dak throws an interception. But who got the blame for that? Mike McCarthy. Because he has no idea what's going on ever when he's coaching on that sideline. They're not going to fire Mike. That's who you're going to try to win a Super Bowl with. The guy that could only get the job done, job done once with Aaron Rodgers. Good luck, Dallas. Don't worry. This is your year. I'm sure of it. A lot more to break down, though, from week 11 in the NFL. Buffalo, a nightmarish upset that has had them now in second place in their division. We'll break that down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Batter morning here on the early line for OK Dubs. I'll tell you that much. I mean, the Chiefs beat the Dallas Cowboys. You love to see that. The Eagles had a gigantic victory. We'll get there. Hour number two. You don't like to separate the stuff. But, you know, listen, folks. When I tell you that Josh Allen isn't the best player in the sport and shouldn't be the favorite for the MVP, I don't say that because I'm crazy. I don't say that because I dislike the people of Buffalo. I say that because it's true. And, well, Donnie, I know that you've been able to do your absolute best to defend this guy. Two touchdowns, two picks, 209 yards, and they got absolutely blasted in their home building against the Indianapolis Colts. And listen, Donnie, I don't think it's time for them to worry about him winning an MVP anymore. It is time for them to worry about winning a division because, Donnie, the Buffalo Bills are no longer in first place in their division.
No, they are not. So now everything was rolling well for the Buffalo Bills, right? Circling the wagons. We're going to run our way to the Super Bowl. And me, sitting on a Josh Allen MVP ticket, doesn't look as good as it did about 2 weeks ago. Sitting on a Buffalo Bills to win the AFC, doesn't look all that great. And also a Buffalo Bills Super Bowl ticket. Now, there's a lot of parity in the NFL, and that's okay. And you take a look at the Indianapolis Colts who came into that football game. And Kevin, I think we broke it down perfectly last week because taking the 7 to the 7.5 points was the right move in this game. And before I knock on the Buffalo Bills, I want to talk about what the Indianapolis Colts did right. If you remember, we're going over because I love to look at weather and how some of these weather conditions do line up. And I said to myself, coming into this game, I got a really good offensive line for the Indianapolis Colts. One of the best young emerging running backs in football that if anything goes wrong in this game and the weather conditions are rough, he's going to be able to still run the football. Look at what happened in this game. Jonathan Taylor, 32 carries, 185 yards against the Buffalo Bills, which is the top-ranked defense in the NFL. That was good for 5.8 yards per carry and four rushing touchdowns. He scored five total touchdowns in this game. So right from the jump where you saw the Indianapolis Colts get up 14-0, then all of a sudden you saw the Buffalo Bills make it 14-7. Had a little bit of a flashback. Like, there's a couple games this year, particularly against the Tennessee Titans, where it's like, hey, Colts are going to run away from this game and let the other football team back in. They didn't do that. They came even right out in the second half with a big lead, scored 14 points in the third quarter to Buffalo Bills 0, and Mitchell Trubisky had to finish this game off. It wasn't in Indianapolis. It wasn't massive injuries for the Buffalo Bills. This was just a tail kicking by the Colts, who now, Kevin, sit at 6-5 and are now healthy. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on deck. Dare I say the Colts making a move here? Maybe not so much to win the AFC South, but this is one of those teams, Kevin, if you come into the playoffs and they're healthy with the way Taylor is running the football and Frank Reich can dial up plays, they're going to be dangerous here. Good win by the Colts.
It's a great win by the Colts, and we'll emphasize that in a moment. But honestly, here on Buffalo, right? And obviously, we've talked about this a lot on the show, but they still have two games left against the New England Patriots on the schedule. The, you know, control your own destiny adage that applies in college football. But Donnie, this team was nearly a minus 2,000 favorite to win this division and is now sat here at a minus 165. Their defense was horrific in this game. A group that has been excellent all season long. I would probably tell you their first true bad performance of the season. Even that game against Tennessee where they allowed 34. One, it is the Titans with Derrick Henry. And two, there was some poor field positioning at times that I thought put Tennessee in a little bit more of an advantageous position here. But Donnie, when it does come to a Josh Allen, I still think at times there are question marks about trust. Trusting Josh Allen to go win the game. I just feel like the recipe for this team is the defense to make sure they're out in front, get up nice, fat, and happy early in a game, and let the pressure go away. Because Josh Allen, Donnie, can create spectacular plays. But the big concerns about him doing what can only be labeled Josh Allen stuff, and that's all good and all bad at times. Well, sometimes that all bad shows up, and it's been showing up a little bit too often, Donnie. He has five interceptions over the last 3 weeks of football.
Yeah, he was playing street football in that second half, just trying to make plays happen, which, you know, against a decent defense and in bad weather, you're going to get turnovers. But this seems like a systemic issue with the offense. And Brian Daboll's one of my favorite offensive coordinators in the NFL. But you can't just recreate, Kevin, a running game or try to imagine one and say it's going to make sense. Like Carson Wentz yesterday, the Indianapolis Colts, Kevin, scored 41 points and Wentz threw for 106 yards in this game, because that means they are versatile. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. If Carson Wentz has a bad football game, it seems like the Colts are still in it each and every week. If Josh Allen has a bad football game like he did, they get smoked because the usage rate is high. That's why you look at him with the MVP. Let's just take a look at two quarterbacks in the NFL. You take a look down in Baltimore, where we have Lamar Jackson. The usage rate is extremely high. When he plays really well, they are unstoppable. But when he still struggles in the past, and I know it's a little bit of an anomaly this year, you have that running game you can lean on, or a nasty defense that's going to pull you out, or a great coaching staff with John Harbaugh. Starting to see some cracks here a little bit in the Buffalo Bills, because if Josh Allen isn't all right, it's like, boy, what are the Buffalo Bills doing? And they had multiple chances here to address the running back situation. Now it's Matt Breida, Devin Singletary, Zach Moss. Nobody gives you those explosive plays, because in the same vein, Josh Allen's probably on the sideline in cold weather in rainy conditions going, I could probably do this all myself, but boy, I'm watching that Colts offense, Kevin. If I could just hand it off to Jonathan Taylor, the guy that's going to carry the ball 32 times in the rain and just be a lightning bolt down the field, that is a great luxury, which the Bills don't have, which, again, for a ticket for an MVP, you know everything hinges on Josh Allen and guys like Lamar Jackson. That's a good thing. But when you're looking from a team perspective, they never could quite figure out their running game over the past 1.5 years. And I think that's going to end up dooming them in the playoffs, because when it gets colder out and you're going to get snowy conditions, rainy conditions, and on the road, you need a running game to try to bail you out. It just can't be the quarterback sweep, Kevin.
Now, before we move on from this game, on the Indianapolis Colts, as you mentioned, who win this game 41-15 as a 7-point road dog and are now 6-5. This team is two games away from the conversation around them being so, so different. The conversation around them right now is, that's not a group you want to play in the postseason. As Donnie said, it's a group that will likely be favored to make the postseason, I think, when those odds are reposted. But they have two losses in overtime. One at Baltimore and one home against the Titans. And if they won just one of those games, they would be in the conversation for the top of the AFC South, and they would be in the conversation for one of the best teams in the conference. Donnie, had they won both of those games, and by the way, they had two touchdown leads in both of those games, the Indianapolis Colts might be favorites in the conference overall, because their defense still is one that you can trust here, and Jonathan Taylor is going to be right in the thick of the Offensive Player of the Year race with Cooper Kupp. They're very close in the updated odds overall, and Carson Wentz protects the football. We joked about it with the target player props, about this guy to throw an interception. The plus money was on the no, the plus money cashed. He only has two games this year, Donnie, where he's been picked off.
Yeah, 86.7 passer rating, QBR of 72.3, which is very good, and just doing what you're asked, Kevin. I know that rant you went on with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz. Isn't this what we're talking about, though? A steady offensive coordinator putting him in the right position and saying, you know what, I have weapons around me. It doesn't have to be all me. You know, I can't drop back to throw to nobody who's open because, again, you're playing with not much talent at the wide receiver position. Running backs like, hey, Boston Scott in Philadelphia, 15 different line combinations on the offensive line. Now you're getting that steady influence, and it looks like this Indianapolis Colts team, Kevin, is playing out exactly what we thought was going to happen before the season. Remember looking at that first 7 or 8 weeks, like, oh my goodness, man, this Indianapolis Colts team is going to go through hell just to make it to the back end of the season. And if they don't give up and they're healthy, they might be able to make a charge in the second half. Well, it just started there with the Buffalo Bills, because as the schedule starts to ease a little bit, winners now 5 of 6, you now get that momentum where other teams might get injured ahead of you and start to slip, like the Tennessee Titans did yesterday. So interesting for the Colts here. They're now knocking on the door to make the playoffs when it looked like, hey, should we bench Carson Wentz and not give up a first-round pick and just throw in the towel for the season? They didn't do that, and they're steaming towards the back half of the season.
Coming up here on the early line, we will talk about the AFC North, who had a very noteworthy week across all four teams. But I do think we should hit, Donnie, before we move forward, the Tennessee Titans lost to the Houston Texans. A world where the Texans cover this game? Yeah, I could see it. 10 points off a bye. Tyrod play a little bit better. Tennessee maybe playing above their head in some respect. But for the Tennessee Titans to lose this game outright, and to lose this game with Ryan Tannehill throwing 4 interceptions, Donnie, I think officially now sounds the worry sign. Because I said that they would be fine without Derrick Henry. And the thing is, I don't benefit from lying. Those wins against the Rams, and of course the win that followed the next week for this football team. Who did they play in that game again? Yeah, the Saints. Those two results there, Donnie, it wasn't because of the offense. They weren't fine without Derrick Henry. Their defense was making plays, and it's 3 straight games now, Donnie. I was wrong. They're not okay without Derrick Henry here. This group is 8-3. They've done enough early season to get into the playoffs, no doubt about it. But Donnie, I would be very surprised if this team won a playoff game unless Derrick Henry comes back.
Exactly. And selfish of me to think it's sitting on a rushing prop of over 10.5 as he sits with 10, maybe the easiest prop cashing ticket you could have. And he goes down with the foot injury. And now you saw the playoff results and you're saying to yourself, okay, if they get him back for the playoffs, Kevin, maybe they need to get him back in week 17 to secure a playoff spot now. So selfish Donnie, selfish Kevin, hoping for that 11th touchdown. Maybe Derrick Henry comes back a week earlier and punches one into the goal line. But you're correct here. You're looking at the Titans. This is no longer that dominant team. It looks like they're going to have to put some tape on the rest of the season to keep things together. That was a disastrous loss, though, right off the bat by the Texans here. You can't lose to the Texans at home.
Henry only needs 63 yards for 1,000, Donnie. That feels like an important marker. I'm just saying I'd get him back out there. The Titans game next week at New England. Oh, this is going to get all very, very interesting. We're talking AFC North after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Justin Fields versus Lamar Jackson. Not so fast. Back right here on the early line, looking at the big results that came out of the AFC North this week. And we'll start with the division leader, Baltimore Ravens, going to Chicago and winning this game 16-13. I feel like this game, Donnie, maybe more than any, odds makers did not know what to do with after the announcement that Lamar Jackson was not going to play. Baltimore closed as a one-point favorite on the road in Chicago. The under, at that moment, you go, you know what? This has to be the lowest scoring game of the week. It was close. It actually was still underscored by two different games, including Chiefs-Cowboys, which is incredible. But this game comes with countless storylines. It's not only did Tyler Huntley get a win, but Andy Dalton came in and nearly saved the Chicago Bears. Quickly, Donnie, on the Bears side, because this team has that quick turnaround, bruised ribs for Justin Fields, who exits early. They have to play on Thanksgiving. I think Dalton's got his job back.
Yeah, Dalton should be able to start on Thursday versus a really bad defense. And this is one of the things we talk about so many times, Kevin, where quarterbacks like circle games on their calendar. Like, if all else fails, at least I can go against a team like Detroit. And it looks like Andy Dalton's going to get that start, because the Bears should have won that football game Sunday. The Bears are going to head into Thursday and be a favorite against the Detroit Lions. And if they win that game, now you're talking playoffs, and you go to yourself as a front office for the Bears or a coaching staff going, do we actually go back to Justin Fields to see if he has the makings of a starting quarterback in the NFL that can lead a team to the playoffs or be in the thick of a playoff race and perform well? Or do we just stick here with our quarterback, Andy Dalton, who can run the offense? And Kevin, you've heard me say on this show before, give me Andy Dalton and I will take a team total for the Chicago Bears. Because typically you're hoping that that team total would still be 17.5, 18.5, 19.5, or be below 20. So I go to the FanDuel Sportsbook this morning. I go, boy, oh boy, thinking Andy Dalton's going to start on Thanksgiving Day against Detroit. It's sitting at a 23 at minus 104, which isn't a bad price, and I still think they can get there. But it's funny how things shift here. Just give me a quarterback that can operate within the means of the offense and make the simple throws. You can move the football against bad defenses. The Bears should have won this game. They didn't. But if you're looking from long-term perspective, Bears backers, this is a good thing. Another step to get Nagy out the door and the Ryan Pace regime. Get a real football staff, a real front office in there that can give your franchise quarterback, Justin Fields, a good boost in the future by making the right plays and putting the right foundation around him. That is a terrible loss for the Chicago Bears. But then again, it's been a terrible season so far, Kevin, for the Chicago Bears.
It's a great point by you. The Bears have lost 5 in a row. They go at Detroit, and then they play the Cardinals, the Packers, and the Vikings. If they do not beat the Lions, Matt Nagy doesn't finish out this season. I'm telling you that right now. On the Baltimore side, Donnie, what's the takeaway? I mean, really, the team that we need to evaluate is one with Lamar Jackson. Are we overwhelmed by this defensive performance against Fields and Dalton and this Chicago Bears team? Not really, but I think the important thing for Baltimore is they remain favorites in the North, and they continue to at least be in the conversation for the one seed here. By hook or by crook, Baltimore just continues to get the job done this season.
Yeah, and you can always lean on the Chicago Bears defense, right, in the past couple years. Again, the defense is going to come up with a stop. They didn't come up with a stop at the end of the game when they needed it. And Kevin, it wasn't with Lamar Jackson. It wasn't with a star-studded backfield. It wasn't with completing deep balls to your young, talented wide receiver, Marquise Brown. It was with Tyler Huntley and a band of backup warriors at the running back position and wideout position. That shows you everything you need to know about the Baltimore Ravens. 7-3 on the season. When things don't go your way, remember all the times, Kevin, where we laugh, like some people, oh, preseason, it doesn't matter. These are the reasons why it matters, because no matter who is in the game, as long as there is a scoreboard, the Baltimore Ravens will compete, and they did that Sunday. How easy would it have been? Say, my top wide receiver is down. Also, my backup quarterback is going to be in. When Lamar Jackson is the entire offense and the team per se, they're able to pull out wins like this. Now, were the Chicago Bears, you know, like going into Arrowhead and beating the Chiefs? No, but it's still a win and keeps you in the top of the AFC. So when Lamar Jackson does come back, you don't miss a beat. So impressive here, Kevin, from the Baltimore Ravens.
You mentioned a lot the Lions there. The Lions, 0-9-1. Donnie lives to see another week in the stretch for this team to remain winless heading into their final week of the season. Tim Boyle started. What do you want from them? I will say DeAndre Swift is tremendous. But really, to me, Donnie, the story is the Cleveland Browns winning this game by 3. The story of this game is Baker Mayfield hardly outplaying Tim Boyle. But I'm not going to take shots at Baker Mayfield here for this performance. Instead, it is going to be this organization, Kevin Stefanski, and whoever makes the decisions in that building. There is no world in which Baker Mayfield should have been playing in this game. Because if Baker Mayfield is healthy, and that's the numbers, that's insane. But Donnie, we know he isn't healthy. You could have won this game without Case Keenum. You go at Baltimore bye week and then home against the Ravens. Your season very well could be on the line the next 2 weeks. And it doesn't get easier past that, by the way. Raiders, Packers, Steelers, and Bengals will close you out. The Cleveland Browns should not have had Baker Mayfield out there. But this is the state of a healthy Baker Mayfield. Donnie, we've been wondering when it might be time to fade this team's chances to make the playoffs. Even in a win, I think I've seen enough. I don't think the Browns will make the playoffs when it's all said and done.
Yeah, one of those seasons, Kevin, because you're looking at, you know, some electric performances out of your defensive line keeping you in the game. You know, also in the secondary, Denzel Ward's having a sensational year. But it's the offense that we're anticipating having one of those seasons. Like, boy, they're going to be tough to stop. Because if you go back to training camp and into the first weeks, Jarvis Landry on one side, Odell Beckham on the other, the entire offensive line healthy, Baker Mayfield healthy, two incredible running backs. Where do I sign up? This Cleveland Browns team is going to do some damage. And it turns into, even in a win that, which, boy, a couple years ago, you would have just loved this win at any stretch in the Cleveland Browns season as they were struggling to win anything here. 13-10, they got up 13-0 by the half, sure to put this one in cruise control. But this is one of those things, Kevin, it doesn't look like it gets any better. It seems like every single week, Baker Mayfield tacks on another injury. And going forward, you're supposed to get healthier, at least say, hey, I'm past an ankle sprain or a knee injury or some broken ribs or broken shoulder blade. It just seems to be getting worse. And also keep in mind, I don't think the shoulder injury per se or the pectoral injury is going to heal by the end of the season. So this is what we're going to get out of the Cleveland Browns. If they're going to make a run, Kevin, it's going to be ugly football games. Not per se those ones where, hey, we went into Cincinnati and blew the doors off the Cincinnati Bengals. This looks like more of what you're going to get. Now, maybe Kareem Hunt comes back. Jarvis Landry's knee improves. Baker Mayfield gets some rest after the bye weekend and can improve. The one thing you can say in the NFL is just picking up a win is key. But when you look at this game going, boy, Detroit had a legitimate chance to win this and are 0-9-1 football team. That's not a good look for the Browns, but when you put the Browns in perspective, they're so beat up that any win is a good win right now for the Cleveland Browns, Kevin.
Browns right now, 10 spot, you know, based tiebreakers and things in the AFC. In front of them, the Indianapolis Colts. Anyone taking the Browns over the Colts today based on what we've seen? I don't think so. Let's talk, Donnie, about this Sunday night shootout here. A wild game between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. LA wins this one 41-37. Pittsburgh continues to be... Now, listen, this was a wild game, but when the results check in, the easiest team in the world to bet. Are they favored? Take the points. Are they the dog? Take the points. I mean, that is just the way you bet Steelers games this season. But big picture, Donnie, this team was down 17 and marched all the way back and took a field goal lead. And the chance to really turn around their season was right in front of them. Now 5-4-1 with still a lot of difficult football that has to be played there. I know they were down a lot, but that was a missed opportunity by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It was a missed opportunity by the Steelers because you could say, oh, well, they were down, they came back. When you have the lead, you have a legitimate chance to steal that game. You have to get it done. As the Pittsburgh Steelers now sit at 5-4-1. The Chargers, who coming into the season, came like, hey, man, the defense is really talented. They should be able to get after it. They are a sieve each and every week. But we were waiting on this performance once again because we expected after a big-time rookie year, taking a look at Justin Herbert, like he's supposed to do this every single game. A couple lulls in the season, they might have figured him out a little bit. And then he goes and has games like last night for 30 of 41, 382 and 3 touchdowns. And, oh, yeah, he had 90 yards on the ground rushing, which is incredible. But I have to say, I take a little bit more away from this game from the Pittsburgh Steelers. We knew they were coming into the game banged up on defense, but also keep in mind, this was Big Ben getting off the couch after having COVID, taking a separate flight out to California, and we could have seen what Russell Wilson we're going to talk about is not playing well, not looking like himself. That was a vintage Big Ben performance, 44 passes, 273 on the air, 3 touchdowns. And take a look at the young wide receivers that they have. Deontay Johnson, 7 for 101. But also, we weren't sure if Chase Claypool was going to come back or even be effective in this game, 5 for 93. Mm-hmm. And Najee Harris out of the backfield catching passes is always electric, but also had only 39 yards on the ground, which hurt them a little bit. But that's what happens when you get down double digits in the second half. The running game goes away. I'm interested to see here because Mike Tomlin doesn't let these Steelers teams give up. They're right in the thick of the playoff hunt. If they can get back healthy on defense and stay healthy on offense, they can make a run for a playoff spot. Now, doing damage in the playoffs, that's a little bit different. But I don't want to shove everything, Steelers are done right now. I actually like their performance because what I'm always worried about with the Steelers, Kevin, typically, is not the defense when it's healthy. It's even when the offense is healthy what I'm going to get. I was a little bit, you know, charged up. I said, okay, maybe a Pittsburgh Steelers team told us or maybe a playoff run could be in the mix, even though they lost on Sunday Night Football.
I'm going to be a little more hesitant than you for a couple of reasons. One, I actually think Ben could use like an every other week kind of approach, Donnie, to the NFL, yeah. Like to give his arm a break. Also, though, they benefited from two. Now, their defense was, 41 points here. They were obviously terrible in the game. No Watt, no Fitzpatrick. You expect that. But Donnie, they had two massive plays that put Pittsburgh right in scoring range overall. And I thought that benefited the Steelers greatly in this game. Again, is this a game that they were favored to win? No. Is this a game that they were down by 3 scores in? Absolutely. But they needed to seal the deal here, I think, when you look at the back end of their schedule and just how tight the race in the AFC is overall. On the Chargers side of it all, Donnie, listen, I don't need to do the Brandon Staley Coach of the Year thing anymore. He's, you know, been clearly shifted out of contention based on the odds. But, Donnie, Justin Herbert's MVP case gets a little more interesting. An award that seemingly nobody actually wants to win. 382 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 90 rushing yards in this game. And Austin Eckler, by the way, just missing out on kind of knocking on the Jonathan Taylor door with 4 total touchdowns in this football game.
Yeah, only 4, right? Like, oh, man, Taylor had 5. Like any other week, this would have been like lighting up the airwaves and DFS backers, everybody's else having a good time here. Also, keep in mind, you're right, you needed a big performance. This is what franchise quarterbacks do, particularly young ones. When you want to stake your claim, like, my defense isn't playing well, don't worry, guys. I got you out here. Whether it's through my arm, as we said, 382 yards passing, or my legs to make it happen, 90 yards on the ground. Let's also keep in mind, there were 41 points scored in the fourth quarter of this game. 78 total points combined here. And Kevin, we talked about it earlier this morning before getting on the air. Why can't we get this on a Monday night or a Thursday night here where it's a laugher on no matter what we bet hits? And instead, we got to wait for the third quarter for miracles to happen. Tonight, I think it changes. But this was one of those games where it could have changed it for us if it was a Monday night football game.
Let's just put this into perspective. I don't think there is a single match special that Donnie and I have ever bet that when you change the names to Chargers and Steelers players, that didn't cash in this game. All your 4 best players to combine for X number of touchdowns. Eckler did it on his own. Passing yards and total touchdowns. Touchdown every single quarter. Donnie's touchdown each half bet. My goodness, Donnie, the long bomb, a touchdown and a field goal from each team in each half. All I'm saying is go back, take this game, place it on Monday night, and everybody will be happy. It'd be nice to see. That's all I'm saying. We're going to close out hour number 1 with Raiders Bengals. An interesting one, no doubt. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Close closing out hour number one right here on the early line. Broke down a lot of the results from the AFC North, Donnie. And it was a big week for the Cincinnati Bengals to get back on track here. Now 6-4. Again, firmly in the race for anything you want, really, in this conference overall. Just one game back of Baltimore, already beat this group. And by the way, that was in Baltimore here. They win this game 32-13. But I have to say, you really could take this game any way you want. You know, looking great for the Bengals, or the fact that the Vegas Raiders season is absolutely collapsing.
Yeah, it is definitely collapsing, but you're right here. I want to take a little bit more out of the Bengals going on the road and basically a pick'em game. Kevin, we talked about it quite a bit last week, saying, boy, odds makers don't know what to do with this one, flipping it from -1 to one side, +1 the other side, back to -1. But the Bengals were the better team from jump in this game, and it's one of those, again, you saw Carson Wentz go on the road with the Colts in a tough environment, throw for 106 yards, and they won easily. Joe Burrow in this game, 148 yards passing, and they won easy. That's a sign of a good football team where everything doesn't have to revolve around the quarterback for you to win. Good win for the Bengals here on the road to move to 6-4.
I think right now, since you handled the Bengals side there, and I agree with everything you said, when you look at this Vegas Raiders team, Donnie, and I know it is a delicate situation, but it is fair to ask how much the absence of Henry Ruggs has impacted this team. Last 3 weeks, 16, 14, 13. Derek Carr was off to an excellent season. The prior 2 weeks, the Vegas Raiders had scored 34 and 33. It's just everything that happened, Donnie, is an absolute shame, but it does have an impact on the football field, and it's clearly impacting this Raiders offense.
No, you're exactly right, too, because what did you want to do? Say, hey, Henry Ruggs is really fast. Let's bring in a really fast guy in DeSean Jackson. I look at the stat line here, not even a target for DeSean Jackson yesterday for the Raiders, so not working out in their favor. Remember we talk about, like, you could circle the wagons for a little bit. You could say, hey, we can overcome some of these tragedies, the coach being fired, the Henry Ruggs situation. Looks like the bottom's starting to fall out, Kevin, on the Raiders.
Eventually, stuff like that, it avalanches. Yeah. It's been a really difficult season for the Vegas Raiders, now 5-5, and it feels like it'll be tough for them to pull themselves out of this position here. We pause the NFL. We open hour number two with college football. A lot to get into. Keep it right here on Sports Grid.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.